person.
Yeah. 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 When was I saved? Yeah. 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 I'm a Southern Baptist, so that I know that. It was very comparable to being saved. Thank God. I had become increasingly concerned about what I was doing for a living toward the end of my career, and I had just come out of an assignment of trying to help discredit the movie Sicko, and I wrote a chapter about that, the campaign against Sicko, in the book, and my heart was not in that, because when I saw the movie, I knew that Michael Moore got it right. And I was not at all looking forward to defending Cigna, because Cigna was portrayed in the movie along with most of the other big insurers and the way that they had treated some of the company's enrollees in their benefit plans. And also because I thought his characterization of our health care system was right on, and that he did a good and, I thought, pretty balanced job of portraying the health care systems in other countries. Certainly Canada and France and the UK and even Cuba, and I think one or two more possibly. About a month after the premiere of the movie, I was taking some time off and went down for a long weekend to visit my folks in Northeast Tennessee, which is where I grew up. And it's in that part of the state that Tennessee's a really weird state. It's got a little tip there in the east that borders Virginia and North Carolina. And I was actually born in North Carolina, because the county that I was, my mom and dad lived in, didn't have a hospital. So I was born in the mountains of North Carolina. And I grew up in a little town that was right across the Virginia state line. So this health fair that I read about in my hometown newspaper was actually in Wise County, Virginia, a few miles up the road from Kingsport. And I was very curious when I read this story, because it said this was the eighth year it was being held, and it was expected to be a record crowd. It was going to be held over 3 days at the county fairgrounds in Wise County. And doctors and nurses and optometrists, all kinds of caregivers were volunteering their time to provide care, and the word had gotten out over the years, and that people were coming from 400 and 500 miles away to get care. They were driving from Ohio and Kentucky and Georgia and South Carolina, all over the region. And it said that invariably people would be turned away because the demand was so great. So I was really curious, and I was curious about the organization that was putting it on. Remote Area Medical, I'd never heard of it either. I sure know about it now. But Remote Area Medical was started a couple of decades ago by a guy who used to be an actor in Animal Kingdom, Stan Brock. He was kind of an adventurer from the UK who wound up in the Amazon and was discovered there when Wild Kingdom was on the air. And he, while he was there, realized a lot of the people who lived in those villages just didn't have access to any kind of decent medical care. So he made a commitment that if he was ever in a position to be able to do it, he was going to fly doctors to the Amazon region to bring care to those folks. And he started doing that. He was able to do that. And eventually he had some expeditions going to Africa as well. Well, pretty soon after doing that, when word got out in this country, he started getting calls from counties not too far from Knoxville, Tennessee, where it's based, asking if he could bring an expedition to those counties. And so now 60% of what they do is in this country. It's not abroad. It's not in third world countries. It's in this country. So I decided to borrow Dad's car and drive up there, and I did. And I just was not prepared for what I was about to see, despite what I had read in the paper. When I got there, there was not a lot of activity on the outside of the fairground walls. The parking lot was jam-packed with cars, but people were already inside. And I found out later, I got there by 8 o'clock in the morning, but they had spent the night in their cars, and they had lined up at 5 o'clock to be able to be sure they got in the fairground gates, so that only a certain number could get in. Other, they didn't want to be turned down. So by the time I got there, I was able to get inside, and I just was shaken when I saw what I did see. I saw people who were standing in incredibly long lines that stretched out of view, and these folks were soaking wet because it was raining. And they were, I noticed, in lines that led into a barn and into animal stalls. And it was just stunning. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was one of those things, you probably have felt almost like you've been hit by lightning, by something that was so stunning that it just shakes you and really affects you so emotionally. And that's what was happening to me. And I also noticed a lot of these folks were being cared for under open-sided tents. So in that case, it looked like I had wandered in somehow into a MASH unit that I had seen on TV. I'd never actually seen one, but it looked like what I had seen on TV, how care was being delivered in a war-torn conflict area. I just couldn't believe that I was still in the U.S. It was so unbelievable. That it quickly became apparent to me that what I was doing for a living was making it necessary for a lot of these folks to be there. And I found out from talking to a lot of those people that almost all of them, and also from talking to the organizers, that almost all these people have jobs. They're not deadbeats. They're not people who are on the dole. They have jobs, but they just happen to be in jobs that are working for companies that don't offer benefits anymore. And they also, many of them I found out, do have insurance. But they have insurance like Starbridge Select. Or they are in plans that have such limited, high deductibles that they might as well not have insurance. They can't meet those deductibles. So they wait once a year for remote area medical to come to town. An increasing number of benefit plans don't offer vision and dental benefits. So a lot of these folks were there to get their teeth pulled because they had waited so long to see a dentist that their teeth could not be saved. It was just incredible. And I realized that a lot of those folks could have been people I grew up with. Chances are there were some people there that I had grown up with. It could have been my neighbors, and they just simply were not lucky, like me, to have a high-paying job and living in a nice suburb of Philadelphia and working in a nice skyscraper in the middle of the city. They just weren't lucky like I was. But they were my people. I knew that. And that was, you know, that was a day that I realized that I was not doing the right thing. And I made a commitment that I was going to somehow quit doing what I was doing. I didn't know how or when. You know, a couple of weeks later, though, I was back at the office soon after that. And I had taken pictures, and I was showing pictures of what I had seen to some of my colleagues, and you know they were surprised, but they quickly went on to whatever it was they were supposed to be doing that day, and it was quickly forgotten, and even I didn't think much of it until a couple of weeks later, I was asked to fly to a meeting in Connecticut where Cygnus Healthcare Operations are based. I used to live and work in Connecticut. Cygnus corporate offices are in Philadelphia, where I live and have worked for many years. But my first few years, I worked at the healthcare operations, which were based outside of Hartford. So I was flying to a meeting with the CEO on one of the company's corporate jets. It operates two, and these are fine jets. They're Falcons, and they'll get you somewhere in a hurry and in luxury. And if you ever get a chance to travel that way, I highly recommend it. While we were on this fairly short trip, it was lunchtime, so the flight attendant served the CEO and me lunch. And the flight attendant was, like me, a Cygnus employee, of course. And so were the pilots and all the flight crew. And she served our lunch on gold-rimmed china. And she gave us gold-plated flatware to eat our lunch with. And this had happened to me many times before. I'd flown on the jet, not just to Connecticut, but to Los Angeles. I'd been on many trips, but I'd never really paid attention until then. And that's, I guess because of my trip to Wise County, I was being more aware of what was going on. And it was very clear to me that a lot of those folks undoubtedly were having to stand in line to get care in a barn or animal stall so that the CEO and I could fly to Connecticut in a corporate jet and get free lunch on gold-rimmed china. And just there, the cost of the fuel was $5,000 an hour. And that would pay for some, quite a few glasses and someone's healthcare premiums. And that just really disgusted me. I had gotten to the point that I was having a hard time looking at myself in the mirror in the first place, and this made it really impossible for me to do that. And I was growing, creeping closer to making the decision to leave. I really had come to the conclusion by then that what I was doing in my job, in my PR job, was the exact opposite of what I had tried to do when I was a reporter. I had taken my job as a journalist very seriously. I tried to be an objective reporter. I tried to find the truth and to report it in a way that people could understand. And that was very important to me, to try to report sometimes complex issues in ununderstandable ways. But what I was doing was trying to obscure the facts. And Ms. Lee, I always prided myself, told myself that I never intentionally lied to a reporter in my PR career. But I, you know, when you're selectively disclosing information and telling anecdotes to make people think that that is the real story rather than just the exception, you know, I guess I was lying to myself, quite frankly. So it was not long after that that I decided to leave. When I first joined Cigna, by the way, I had a birthday soon after I joined them, and one of my colleagues, as a little birthday gift, gave me a framed E.B. White quote, which I had not been aware of before. It was just three words in a nice little frame, and it was "Be obscure clearly." So that's what I did for quite a long time. I was pretty damn good at obscuring clearly.